Local cinephile and film historian Jay Duncan has for decades found ways to share his love of classic films with audiences. His latest venture is the Sunset Film Society. Robert Artovino has spent years resurrecting and expanding one of El Paso's historical and culinary treasures, Artovino's Desert Crossing. Fortunately for those seeking great films and food, the Sunset Film Society has now found a home at Artovino's Desert Crossing. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. The Sunset Film Society will celebrate the founding of Artovino's Desert Crossing in 1949 with a film of the same vintage tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. And I'm delighted to have two men on the program that need little introduction, Robert Artovino and Jay Duncan. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Robert, I don't think you've ever been on the show. I should also mention that your sister, Marina Artovino, is one half of this great duo out there that's resurrected
Artovino.
Yeah,
typically more Artovino. Than a half, but yes.
Okay, two-thirds, one-third. Jay, I know you've been involved, gosh, going all the way back to the 70s with showing people in El Paso films in various venues and formats and broadcast. Tell us about Sunset Film Society. This was founded about a year ago now,
about
isn't it?
August. In August of 2013, we had our first film. Somewhere in Time, and tomorrow night's film represents the 10th showing.
Fantastic.
Under this new umbrella.
Right. Started in the Sunset area of El Paso, hence Sunset, but I think it's great to move to Artovino's where the sunsets are spectacular.
Well, you know, talk about synchronicity or serendipitous, you know. I mean, we had Sunset Boulevard as the premiere at Artovino's in the Sunset Hall, and it was the Sunset Film Society. So, you know, these are things I think you shouldn't ignore, you know. I mean, you should pursue.
And that was just last month that you made the move.
Yeah.
Great. Robert, I want to ask you that this is a big year for Artovino's Desert Crossing. You and your sister and family had taken over the facility, I guess, in the late 80s and have been building it up into this
It closed down in 76, and my sister and I started back up in 94.
94.
And we opened, we started with parties in 97 and various special occasions, evenings, like Mother's Day, like Easter, like Valentine's Day. And
right.
Then we opened up in 2001 as
now
a restaurant.
It's a full-service restaurant.
Yeah. Banquet facility.
Catering.
Whole nine yards. We do. The funnest part about what we do are these special events and these special occasions. And we're just happy to be able to have a venue that is able to work with great people like Jay and this Sunset Film Society. It's nice to be able to see movies as well.
I think I met you soon after you reopened as a banquet hall out there, and we had a function, and I got to know you and your wife, Jennifer. And ever since I've known you, you've been talking about somehow doing film events at Artovino's Desert Crossing.
Yes.
And now you have a monthly film series.
Right.
It's fantastic.
Right. And we aim to use every space on the property. So Jay will eventually start thinking about what we're going to show in the pool.
There you go.
There we are.
The original pool. Sans water.
Right? Sans water.
So film-wise, Jay, tell us what we have coming up tomorrow evening at 6:30.
Well, this is an opportunity for everyone to have dinner and a monkey. I mean, movie. Because, you know, there's so many good films that came out of 1949, which we probably want to try to sprinkle throughout the year just in celebration of the opening of Artovino's originally. But the biggest release, literally, was Mighty Joe Young.
Mm.
It evidently was true that what Fay Wray was promised for King Kong – not knowing the script, not knowing anything about the storyline, she was promised working opposite the tallest, darkest leading male in film. And so she said, I'm in. And, of course, you know, the rest is kind of history.
Joe would be the second tallest,
that's
darkest
right.
leading
That's
male.
Right. He's kind of a relative in
this
the
is another
world.
Gorilla film.
Another gorilla film. And whereas King Kong was... you know, depending on what scene he's in, because he kind of changes in height, 25 to 50 feet tall. Mighty Joe Young is 10 to 12 feet tall, but he's a pet of Terry Moore. And so he's kind of a kinder, gentler simian than Kong was.
And but the same filmmaking team of Marion C. Cooper and Ernest Schoedsack.
You got Willis O'Brien as the technical creator. You got a young, and at that time... 28 years old, Ray Harryhausen, given basically the lion's share of the animation work. So we had
two icons of special effects for their time, Willis O'Brien and Ray Harryhausen, just cutting his teeth.
Absolutely, and it won an Academy Award for Best Visual Effects.
Fascinating, too, because it was produced by John Ford, which anyone who knows their great cinema legends, John Ford you would not associate with a giant gorilla film.
That's true. That's true. That's
but
very
I,
true.
But I take it Marion C. Cooper, this was that period that he and Marion C. Cooper had teamed up to have an independent production company and were really beginning to break away or pushing the boundaries of stepping back from the studio system, one of the pioneers to start producing their own work.
Yeah, so the advertisement even says a John Ford Marion C. Cooper presentation. It's not a production, even though they were the producers, but it's a production. A presentation by ARCO, A-R-K-O, which has to do with RKO, too, which was the releasing company.
Great. I know that special effects and Mighty Joe Young are close to your heart. Robert, 1949, 65th anniversary of not only this film, but also the founding of Artovinos.
Great Uncle Frank.
Artovino Frank.
Came down from Yonkers with with New York Cavalry in 1914 and liked the area so much. He came down to help fight Pancho Villa and to find Pancho Villa. Liked the area so much, opened a key club, the Mecca Club, where the carousel is now, next to the river, in 1944.
Yeah.
That key club was functioning for many years, 5 years, and my mother used to say that Uncle Frank used to say that, well, we've got to feed these bums anyway. We might as well give them a bill at the end of the night. And then hence they moved up to Artovino's Roadside Inn.
Around 1949.
Around 1949.
Wow. So it was a roadhouse back then. And you can imagine, mostly desert, I would think.
Right. There was very little there. So some of the few pictures we have, and we're always looking for more, show nothing, literally nothing on El Paso's west side but mountains.
Yeah.
So, you had to get to the Coronado Bridge or the Country Club Bridge to come over and down.
And then come back down south.
8 miles south.
Fascinating.
So middle of nowhere then.
And of course, the border was more porous then too.
Right. No fence, no
probably
nothing.
Had people wandering over to have dinner.
He actually would get produce from Mexico and they'd just bring it straight over from Mexico.
Fantastic.
Yeah, wow. Right.
A lot of history there. For those who have not been to Artovino's Desert Crossing, it's truly one of my favorite places to take visitors or just people in El Paso because it's a magnificent site you've created. Jay, you've got this planned out, the films, a little ways into the future. Why don't you walk us through what you're coming up in June?
Well, I talked to Robert, and we were looking at the calendar, and I thought probably there's no chance that Father's Day would probably be open. But you said that you don't really have anything special planned on that day, right?
Well, fathers tend to be less of a fuss than mothers.
That's true.
We fathers like to fuss over the mothers.
Because the women know how to take care of things,
right.
Whereas the men are incompetent and need a place like Artovino's to take their wives to.
Exactly. So that seems to merit some
Yeah. And you said, well, if it was a strong enough film, maybe we could do something on Father's Day.
Right.
So I thought, what's a strong enough film? What has a dad in it? And more importantly, what's been recognized by at least the American Film Institute as the number one dad in film history? To Kill a Mockingbird, Atticus Finch.
And Gregory Peck.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
We'd all want to be Gregory Peck. Right?
That's right. I mean, and to be a number one dad in film history, that's a one hellacious accomplishment,
Single father, too.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so I proposed that idea and said, sounds like a good idea.
Right.
So this is June 15th at 6:30.
And that's Father's Day.
Right. You can kill two birds with one stone. You take your dad out, get a nice meal, and show him a great film about a father. Obviously, we have great memories of having one of its stars, Mary Badham, here in El Paso recently, and her telling stories of the making of that film. Incredible work. For those who haven't seen it but probably know the title, it's certainly, I would think, on a lot of people's favorite film lists.
Yeah.
It certainly deals with some hard topics of injustice and prejudice in the 60s and the early racial prejudice of the South. But the way it's told mostly through the vision of these young, innocent kids, makes it really quite an extraordinary family film, too.
It's a quiet, powerful film, I think, in so many ways. And the kids are just phenomenal. Everybody's phenomenal. And you have the screen debut of somebody who's phenomenal in a speechless yeah. role, yeah. Robert Duvall, that went on to become phenomenal as an actor in his own right, you know? So, I mean, everything clicks in this film, I think.
June 15th, so that is, the third Sunday of the month?
I believe so.
And that's your modus operandi, is always the third Sunday, or trying to be?
It could float a bit depending on what they have going on.
Good.
But generally speaking, probably Sunday. Yep. Second or third or fourth, you know, depending. So watch this space as far as determining and getting an actual handle on when it is. But we'll know in advance and promote it on the website.
Robert, for those who haven't been out to Artovino's Desert Crossing or haven't been there in a while, what's the easiest way to get there?
Well, there's actually a couple. The easiest is Sunland Park Drive to Donovan, mm-hmm. left to Racetrack Drive, right. Over the river, through the light, and to the left on Artovino Drive. Another way to think about it, too, is the northwestern side of Mount Cristo Rey. Just yeah. kind of point the car in that direction yep. and get there.
And you've got your own street named after you.
Right. Not me, but Artovino Drive is there.
And you'll see the beautiful sign. The easiest way, I think, is just go to your website, which is
right. www.artovinos.com.
And there's a wonderful little map that makes right. it really simple.
Right.
We like to run down Executive Center Boulevard, right. hit the Border Freeway, and come right over to
We like to say it's closer than you think, but it's a world away once you get there.
It really is. When you're sitting there on those beautiful patios mm-hmm. and night air and watching the mountains and the sunset, you really feel transported, even though it's 7 minutes from my house.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's right. It's like a whole different environment. Yeah. You have the train. Mm-hmm. You have the windmill, mm-hmm. and you feel like you're way away from where you are.
Yeah, no. yeah.
It's true.
Great place to see movies now. Jay, for those who haven't been to the Sunset Film Society, you have an introduction, a discussion period, sometimes some short films. It's a mm-hmm. value-added proposition.
Right. In this case, after Mighty Joe Young, we'll have about a 23-minute conversation with Ray Harryhausen, the Kyoto brothers, who are filmmakers of, you know, you might know Killer Clowns from Outer Space, things like that. Talk with him, and Mr. Harryhausen talks how he was inspired by a certain film that led to his career path, and we'll go a little deeper. You know, we always try to also have kind of music of the period maybe running ahead of time, too, just to kind of get people into the decade or the era that we're showcasing.
Perfect. Classic films at a classic place, and you get a little bit of an education along the way, too. So thank you both for coming in today.
It's my pleasure.
My pleasure.
I've been discussing the upcoming programming for the Sunset Film Society with the Film Society's director, Jay Duncan, and Robert Artovino, co-owner of Artovino's Desert Crossing, the Film Society's new home. The Sunset Film Society will screen the 1949 classic Mighty Joe Young at 6:30 p.m. tomorrow, and admission is free. However, reservations are required. You can learn more about the Film Society at sunsetfilmsociety.org. And you can make reservations by calling Artovino's Desert Crossing at 575-589-0653. Artovino's Desert Crossing turned 65 years old in 2014 and adds fine dining to the Sunset Film Society's mix of film programming. For more information and directions to Artovino's Desert Crossing, log on to artovinos.com. On Film's producer is Norma Martinez. An archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.